Welcome to the Real Hero Podcast with your host, Andrew Winters. This podcast breaks down the importance of self-worth, abundance, an alpha mentality, and goals with a purpose through interviews and enlightening conversations. Now, sit back, take your mental notebook out, and enjoy.
What's up, guys? Thank you for tuning into the Real Hero Podcast this week. We have an awesome guest here with me today. He's a good friend of mine. He's a therapist who owns his own practice known as the Kai Wellness Center, Ulrich Osame. And we're going to be discussing how to overcome the fear of failure and rejection. So let's get right into it. I was actually listening to our old podcast not too long ago. What is this? Give me a second. Okay, there we go. So I was listening to our old podcast from last year. I believe it was episode 7 or 10. I don't remember the exact number, but like we both sounded so automated.
Oh, very Q&A. So question and answer. You said this. I said this. You said this. There was
I was like, hi, how are you doing? I sounded like a literal robot.
Oh, because it was the quality?
The quality of the sound was good. It was the way we were interacting. Because, you know, like I will mirror someone's energy. Mm-hmm. And if they're acting a certain way, then I used to act that way too. So if they were kind of like a little bit – because it was maybe your first time on a podcast and I was still getting used to it because it was like the earlier episodes – so I was like, hi, how are you doing? Are you doing good today? And I was oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I think that might have been, like, my second or third podcast as a guest. So, yeah, I could see that maybe a little bit stiffen my responses and interactions. So I was just like, hey, I'm out here getting interrogated. Let's make it happen. Also didn't want to say things that were just, like – super controversial or just going to be an issue for me later on. Just trying to keep it even keel. But, you know, one of the things that when we talked about doing this is just like, all right, let's see kind of where this goes. Let's just try to have more or organic conversation about it. So maybe, you know, that will lend to it being a little bit more less robotic. More warmth. And then also is the work that I do sometimes too. I'm sometimes a little bit flat. Like I'm not trying to be too high, not trying to be too low, like just trying to meet people like right in the middle. And I just walked in there probably like this is a session, bro. Let's get it on. Like, let's do this.
Well, so the listeners kind of understand what you're talking about. Do you mind explaining what exactly you do? Because I know what you do, but for the listeners who are currently going to be listening to this, they have no clue what you're talking about. Because
I'm a mental health therapist, social worker. Social work is my degree. So I got a master's in social work, have my license in clinical social work. So I come from that world, the mental health, helping individuals world. That's me. Is there any, like, should I expand on like what that looks like, what my typical day looks like to that degree? What, help me out here, Andrew.
No, I see what you're saying. Like now, now it makes sense to listeners because you have to, you can't be too overly excited and you can't be, you cannot be depressed when you're talking to your clients. Like that's one thing. Like you have to maintain that very like stoic attitude. Almost like a neutral attitude, I feel like.
Yeah. So for some individuals, they're facing certain traumas and interactions with other individuals. They come to me because it's certain topics that you can't just talk to your friend about or talk to your mom about. Because you're going to get certain feedback that you don't necessarily want or looking for. So you don't want a judgmental stance. So I'm like hyper aware of my facial expressions at times. So, you know, they might reach in and say something that's very traumatic to them or have are in a place where they're first talking about something that they've internalized for a very long time. And I can't be like, oh, ugh, wow, right? Like, that's not going to help them open up. So that's what the whole process is. It's just, hey, I'm going to provide you some feedback, some support. I can be warm, empathetic. I can joke around. It's just on what my clients need. So I kind of gauge the water at times, and I'm just like you. I'm like an emotional sponge. Whatever you give me, I'm going to soak it in. So we're both like, all right. So wait, the energy to kind of part, like, who's going to be the one? So that's that as well. And then I'm a bit of an introvert. I'll tell people that as well. So kind of sometimes a little bit more reserved and kind of seeing like what the vibes are before I get a little bit too comfortable. But I'm definitely in my element right now. Not looking at, all right, these are the questions I have to answer. These are the answers I'm going to give. I'm just going to just have an organic conversation, because it's been a long time since we've spoken. I know we have our private conversations, and even with some of our private conversations, it's been what, 2-3 months, right?
It's been about 2 or 3 months. Yeah, it's been a good minute.
Yeah, we text, but actually hear each other's voice. It's been like 2-3 months. So it's I'm glad to be here, you know, able to see you. Because that's been a while as well, right? I think the last time I saw you, was the podcast, like the image of you in person, like live feed, and not through Instagram. It was the podcast, and then in person, 2019, I think you were visiting.
Yeah, I probably was visiting from Fort Myers, because I was currently living there, for the listeners who don't know, because I went to school at Florida Gulf Coast, and I just thought it was easier living there because I had all my friends and connections there at the time. So I was like, you know, I'll just settle my stuff here and whatnot. And then, yeah, I would come to visit my good old hometown friends from my childhood and catch up and whatnot.
And that's always welcome. I have one of those lifestyles where I had the benefit of growing up in multiple places. So I have friends along the way. So recently saw one of my good friends that I've known since I was 7. And it was just the best thing in the world, being able to catch up with him. He has a daughter now. He's married. So we're able to kind of compare notes and how life has taken us in very similar directions and yet different directions. Yet there's still that reverence, respect, and love that's still there. We don't talk every day like that. It's just happy birthdays. At one point, I didn't even have his right number. So I was like reaching out to him and I wasn't getting a response. I was like, what's going on? And only like until I ran into his sister when I was visiting up there. I was like, oh, he didn't text you back. Like, that's really weird. And then she gave me his number and I was just like, hey, what's going on? Like, hey, yo, what's going on? I was like, I've been trying to keep up with you or catch up with you. And it was great, is all I could say. And just being able to get back to a place of comfort. It's like good home cook, like a good home cooked meal, being able to dive back into those relationships. So that's been a goal of mine this past year. Is I'm pretty good about it, but being better about meeting up with what I call old friends and just, you know, catching up, seeing how we're doing, being intentional about doing all of that.
I like that word you used, intentional. That's been part of my mantra lately. Like, everything I do, like, needs to have intention, whether that's like getting up in the morning and making my bed, like what's the reasoning behind that so I can do that every day, or like eating a certain breakfast, or when I work out, or yada, yada, yada. I don't know. I like that word, intention, but it's good that you are like maintaining your certain social circles in your life. Cause you know, you mentioned it, you know, one of the toughest things that people could go through is not having anybody by their side, especially during rough times. And having like a social circle to communicate with, or even some old friends you haven't spoken to in a long time, reaching out to them, talking to them, see how they're doing. They check in and see how you're doing. You know, I branched out and talked to some really old friends the beginning of this year. And it turns out like they're some of my closest friends now, because, you know, that connection was severed for a little while, and then I reached out to them, and now, like, our connection is stronger than ever. So it's always good to reach out to an old friend. You never know what they're going through. It could be good, it could be bad, but it could help you out too. You know, it's just reaching out. It can't hurt.
No, it can't. And I look at being intentional. It helps with your personal inventory, right? You've heard that before, your personal inventory?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Yeah, so just like a checklist of how you're doing with things, how you're experiencing things in life. There are people that I speak to, and I'm like, how are you doing? And they'll just tell me, fine. I'm like, no, but for real, like, how are you doing? That's the little therapist hat. And it's like, really, how are you doing? How do you interact with the world around you? So how have you been doing with your personal inventory? This is not a session. I hope that didn't come up very good.
Guys, this is actually going to turn into a therapy session for Andrew Winters, so please stay tuned.
I'm gonna have to do some paperwork.
Dude, my personal inventory has been building. I've been adding things to my repertoire as far as like just an abundance of things that are coming into my life, you know, in all aspects. And I feel like it's going in a really good place currently for me. So I'm very fulfilled with how things are going right now.
That was good. And I think it was one of the earlier podcasts, we can't be happy all of the time. I remember you talking to a guest about that. So knowing what what it looks like when things aren't going well, to help you keep things going well, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was talking about this with a friend the other day. And one of the great things about like appreciating the good times is when you have those bad times. Like, you don't appreciate the sun unless you have the rain. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, there's going to be like tough times that are going to happen. Like, no matter, like, your car is going to break down, but then you're going to get it fixed, and you're going to appreciate that you do have a car. Stuff like that. You know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. And then it's also with that being intentional, not waiting till things kind of go bad and realizing you had it good. That gratitude is like, look at all that life I have in my life, what's going on currently, the experiences, and just looking at the experiences for what they are, being sort of neutral about it. It's hard. We like to, as human beings, categorize things good or bad, but as much as just they are, in a sense, like, wow, this is my experience, tailor-made for me. And I'm in the strong belief that human beings, they, in their lives, the challenges that they have are for them to overcome and experience for them. Like, I can't go through the life of being Andrew Winters. I can't. Like, it's tough being you.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
But we're thriving in our own skin, right? You're taken, right? Andrew Winters is taken. I'm taken. The other people in your life, they're taken. So it's just being focused on your experience for what it is, and what lessons could be learned, the growth process, the step backs. I'm not talking about the shot. just looking at everything all together and not being overwhelmed by it, because I know that can be very anxiety-inducing. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a testament to being overwhelmed.
I wasn't trying to call you out, by the way. I'm just general.
No, I feel like there were some shots taken there. I was trying to dodge them like the Matrix. I was like, this guy is throwing so much things at me. Andrew Winters' life is tough. I'm like, whoa.
All our lives are tough. When you look at it, like, that's not an easy ride. Not any stretch for any of us. Like, the Jeff Bezos, the Bill Gates, like, they got their own problems. But we don't, like, oh, yeah, this guy went to space. This guy's a billionaire, whatever. Like, we all have our different challenges. I couldn't be Jeff Bezos. That looks like a hard life. I couldn't be Bill Gates. That looks like a hard life from the outside looking at it.
Yeah.
I might have his bank account, but aside from that, and maybe that would, encompass some other problems for me as well. But I digress.
Yeah, I mean, the people think like those entrepreneurs, those influencers, those billionaires, those big businessmen, women, people all started like on that level. It took them years and years of trial and error and tribulations and failure to get to where they are. And that's the big word, failure, because we talked about this not too long ago. And it's such a foreign concept to people because it's avoided these days. And I genuinely think like failure is like the biggest catalyst for like anything that goes on in your life. And it kind of annoys me when I see people who avoid failure, like the kids who back in like high school would avoid failure at all cost. And I'm not saying, go and fail your exams, fail your tests, fail your relationships. I'm just saying like don't avoid it like the plague. Like it's there for a reason to, I don't know, maybe teach you a lesson or maybe help grasp a concept you don't understand or maybe like to guide you somewhere else on that path. You know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. Like for me, I have an aversion to risk. And I've realized that about myself. I've taken some personal inventory, keyword, I said it, right? Of myself, and there are things that I've done that required some risk. But then I also look at other opportunities where I was overwhelmed by the concept of risk and failure and just fear in itself. And for me, I'm gonna blame my mom, right? The therapist in me, right? Blame my mom. My mom did every single thing that she could to make sure that I was safe. That was her way of showing me love and having me grow up into a sensible, responsible adult. It was just like, don't do this. You might break a bone. Don't do that because you'll get arrested. Don't do this. Like, there's a lot of don'ts. So life becomes very restricted in that sense. Like, all right, I have to kind of walk through this certain path to ensure that things are calculated in this nice little bubble. But as we know, Andrew, it doesn't really work that way, does it?
No, and there's another keyword you use, calculated. There was a book I read not too long ago called How to Not Be a Nice Guy by Donald or Ronald Glover. I don't remember exactly, but it's How to Not Be a Nice Guy or something like that. I don't remember the exact title. This was actually a few months ago. And one of the things in that book mentioned was that a lot of times people during their childhood were led to lead a more safer route and be more calculative. So one that can lead to like that can digress into like many different areas of like fallacy in life. Like you might learn to be more manipulative if you try to, be too nice. Or but the whole point was to not get too off topic. Was the fact that you're planning out every step of the way. And if you do that, then you're kind of like avoid like you're kind of like misinterpreting the whole like purpose of like going on whatever journey you're going on in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just completely misses the trajectory in which you need to go. You're missing your true self. It goes back to that question, like, how are you doing? Like, oh, fine. Like, no, that's the calculated, answer we all want. Give us something original from the gut, from the heart. What's going on? What's your experience like in this present moment? And that's hard for individuals to do. At times, I'm generalizing. Risk. I think there's the other part too, is hurt and trauma and what it does to certain individuals. I was talking to someone about this, and I live a life where I've had some traumatic things happen to me, and I just like shrugged it off and just went about life without processing it in the way that I needed to. So I'll share like a fun little story. I was doing a, you heard of the Spartan race?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
I'm just like super long, kind of not super long, but it's a marathon. Maybe it is long. I don't know. I've never done a Spartan race, but I did something very similar to it. So we're like rope climbing, we're crawling through mud, we're jumping into bodies of water. You're jogging. You're doing just all types of courses to get to this finish line. So I decided to do one with a friend of mine. And we get to the part where this platform, it had to be like 3 stories up, and jumping into this pond lake situation, murky, it's Florida. Jump into this thing and swim to the other side and continue on onto the track. It's Florida, so it's super hot. We get to this platform, I jump off. Mind you, I can't swim. I'm not a very good swimmer. I can probably make it to like one end of the pool to the other end of the pool, and I'm splashing a whole lot. I'm gonna make it there though. We gotta at least be able to do that as a person who lives in Florida. So I'm like, all right, I'll be able to do this. They have like this kind of rope situation that you can use to kind of guide yourself. So I was just like, all right, cool. So I'll jump right close to the rope and I'll just kind of like pull myself slash swim when I'm in this pool of water. So I jump in. And going from hot to cold put a shock in my body, and my calves just cramp up. And you kind of need your calves if you're gonna swim, especially if you're not a
Florida.
good swimmer. So I cramp up. I'm splashing about. I go under for a little bit. It seemed like forever. Damn near almost drowning. Finally, the lifeguard comes, puts me on the little what do you call it? The little kayak situation takes a sweet time to get to me. I live. Puts me up on shore, and it's like, all right, now you have to go the long way. Now I have to do the walk of shame for people who can't swim through this course, and finally meet up with the group that I came with, cross the finish line, triumphant, great experience, and then it's off to, I think, work and school like very next day. Like, fam, I almost died. Like, for real. Like, I almost died. I promise you that. I almost died. And yeah, I just went about life, like not thinking about it. It was just like, haha, very funny. I'm laughing about it right now because that's how I know how to deal with my trauma, right? So now thinking about certain situations like that, I hope this is not too dark. It's
No.
doing the reflection. I try not to live in the past too much, but it's like, all right, are you okay? Like, are you keeping yourself in a place where you're cherishing yourself, you're respecting yourself? Are some of your needs met? And if not, what is it that I can do about it? Do I need to reach out to other people? Do I need to share my experience? Do I need to bounce back some of my feelings, emotions, and thoughts? As I'm going through my reflection in a sense. So do you relate with that at all, Andrew?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that you mentioned that story. One quick question before I go on. Would you do it again?
Oh, I told my friend, no, absolutely not. Right? And that's where the hurt and trauma comes. Like, I was hurt, man. Like, physically, it beat me up. My body was probably sore for like 2, 3 weeks. And mind you, at the time, I was a regular at the gym. I was going 3 to 5 times a week at the gym. So I was just like, yeah, man, I'm gonna crush this. I'm like, nah, I'm not. That's that. What's that gym that people go to where they do like the calisthenics and all
Oh,
that? And
CrossFit.
people, yeah, that's for the CrossFit family over there. Because yeah, no.
They're built different. They're CrossFit people are a different breed.
Yeah, for real. I was like, people ran the entire time. I like walked. My cardio was terrible. Like, I was just not built for the marathon. But I learned a lot about myself in that as well. So I'm happy that I went through it to some extent. My determination and stubbornness. It's a testament to that. I got out of that particular endeavor. And then I'm a little scaredy cat. I was like, no, my friend would just try to get me to go to other ones. Like, oh, this one doesn't have any bodies of water. I'm just like, nah, I'm okay. I think that ship has kind of sailed for me. But I tried it. I got to a place where I was afraid of something or unsure about something. It was unexplored territory. I did it. I kind of don't think it's something for me right now.
There was a quote Michael Jordan said that, not verbatim, but I'm quoting here, air bubbles for people who can't see. I can't. It's actually on my phone. Let me get it out real quick. It's somewhere on my phone. Give me one second. Oh, here we go. Okay. I can accept failure. Everyone fails at something, but I can't accept not trying. That was like that story was definitely like a true testament to being like, you were terrified, like, or at least going into it, you were confident, but like going through the course and then seeing that 3-story tall like ledge and jumping off and into that murky Florida lake, you're probably like, you know what? I kind of want to go back. But the fact that you attempted it and you knew like it would be worse not doing it and having that regret your entire life than actually like not doing it. So the fact that you did that, you got over that fear and you overcame it, and now that you can like look back and laugh at it, like that's, the title of this podcast is like an overcoming your fear of failure. Like you overcame it, now you can look back at it and talk about it on this podcast years later, and that's awesome. So yeah, I could definitely relate to that because I've had many experiences, including like physical activity like that. There are times when like I was so scared to bench press at one point when I injured my shoulder. So there was one day when I went to the gym, there was a lot of people there. It was like a Thursday evening. People are getting off work. You got the whole like, gym bros, you got the whole college bros, you got the whole like girls chilling and doing their squats. And then you got me, and I go to the bench. And I grabbed the bar. I'm like, all right, I haven't benched in like years. And this was like a couple years ago. And I go to grab the bar and I do a couple reps. I'm like, this is easy. So I slap some weight on there. I grab the bar again. I'm like, I have that little like it on my side, like, you got this, you got this. And then the ego tell me, no, get out of there, man. And I grab the bar, I bring it up, bring it down. I did one rep. I'm like, all right, my hands are shaking. I bring it back down. I couldn't get it up. I couldn't get it up, and it fell on my chest. And I was like, I had to figure out what to do, and I was just like sitting there, like breathing heavily. And then after a while, I was just like, "Help, help!" And some guy came up to me, some macho guy, grabbed the bar, picked it back up, and I was like, "Thanks, man." So the moral of the story was, I was terrified of bench pressing because of my injuries, but I did it anyways because I knew it was something that I really wanted to do and get back into. And although I did screw up or mess up, whatever you want to call it, that one time, I did learn that one, I need to not do as much weight. Two, I need to work on my form. And three, I need to write a will because you can die if you bench too heavy by yourself without a spotter on a bench. But yeah, it's, I mean, that, yeah, it was, I understand what you're talking about, that fear. And now I can like look back at it and laugh. And I've learned from my mistakes from that one time that I did that bench press. And you don't. I wanted to continue bench pressing. You didn't want to continue the sparring thing, but at least you could say you tried it.
I did. Yes,
Yeah.
sir. Yes, sir. I don't know. Like, there's just different times where I take an L very, very hard. I take all L's pretty hard. But it's just what you do with it. And I think there was a podcast where you talk about anger being a catalyst for you. So L's bring me to a point of anger. I'm not destructive with it. I've learned not to do that. That was more something that happened when I was a teen and in my early 20s that I practiced was like I'm super angry and it would become different things. So now the anger becomes a motivator. It fuels my ability to become hyper focused on becoming better at it. I don't necessarily have to be the best and trying to get away from comparisons. So it's just reviewing things over and over to a point where I'm getting better at these things. Can you relate with that, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, so there's a quote that one of my many quotes that I live by. I say hate drives and love thrives. You can't have yin without the yang. You can't have yang without the yin. I think I made a post about this on my Instagram, and I talked about this in a podcast, which you probably listened to, like you mentioned, that anger is a huge catalyst in change. I think it's very beneficial, but I can relate because I've been on both sides of the spectrum where I used anger as a destructive tool, and I've used anger for the greatest changes in my life that are currently going on. And I don't think, any emotion is bad. It's just when you take it to that next extreme, and you probably know this way better than I do. I mean, this is your field of study in a sense. But what are some, I'm not going to say any specific names, but there are some people that I know who like are afraid of like failing at certain things, and like 'cause they don't want to pursue a certain route. Like I have a friend who is just he's terribly afraid of posting a YouTube video because he's going to think people are going to judge him. So he's already setting in his mind that he's setting himself up for failure. And he's getting angry at himself, like you mentioned. Like he's like, I want to do this, but I'm so afraid, man. Yada yada yada. Like, what are some like techniques that you recommend that you went through in your life that could help someone like that who's afraid to like post that video, who's getting angry at themselves every day for not doing it?
Yeah, one of the things I had to learn was, especially if it's something that's been done before, like it's territory that's been trekked before, is what are the differences between the people before me who have done this and myself? And I find that there's probably a lot of similarities, and learning what those particular skills are, and then just making them my own and cultivating those things, and making it something that I can focus on. Another thing is the internal messages. Where are they coming from? And what can I do with these messages? How is this helping me? How is this hurting me? How do I benefit? How do I get away from or run away from some of the situations that make me uncomfortable? I look at a lot of things that we do as a benefit and cost in our lives. So in the negative self-talk, there's a benefit to it. I don't have to do this video. I won't have eyes on me. I won't waste time, resources, whatever, right? There might be a long list of perceived benefits. And then it's looking at the cost of that particular mindset. Well, I'm gonna have this dream in the back of my head. I'm not going to feel actualized and trying to be a better person, and a number of different things. I can't speak to that person's experience. I'm just kind of spitballing here. But I think those are some great ways to look at it. It's like, so it's the good and bad with every situation that you're going through, and just flipping on its head. All right, I've discussed all the things that make me afraid, but what if? What if any of those things don't happen? But then, what will I gain? And is the gain way more beneficial to me than the risk? And at that point, we're almost getting to logical territory, right? Numbers. I was like, yeah, let me just go with that and live with that. And if there's any kind of criticism or anything like that, just having an open mind to what those things are. And we've had private conversations, and I'm gonna now make public, Andrew. In terms of
It'll be in the show notes.
podcast, show notes, just admitted it. One of the things, like with your podcast, it's like, what do you think about this? Yada yada yada. And I shared my thoughts, and you've taken these things into account. I've seen your growth into it. I was like, hey, this is what how it sounded to me. What do you think? And we have a back and forth. We have a conversation about it. And it doesn't affect our relationship together, and it doesn't affect you to my just from my observation. Well, like you taking it with great stride, and it's like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, whatever, to yeah, actually I'm gonna take this on, like, this is a great idea, or I need to maybe look at it. I never really looked at it in that way. So putting yourself out there also allows your community to act as extra set of eyes. So I just tell that person, jump in. Don't get a cramp though.
I wish people could see this because it's purely audio, but I got to see that little thing you did there.
Yeah, I'm just like,
I appreciate that you mentioned that. You know, it's been a crazy year indeed. And I mean, I'm not gonna lie, there are a lot of points in time when I went through my fair share of failures this year, and I knew that I would regret not continuing, like, for example, my podcast. I had to get over that hump because I felt like I failed after a while, because I didn't post anything. I genuinely felt like, you know, I don't know when I'm going to do this again. Maybe I'll rebrand the entire thing or take it down and give it to someone. I had no clue. And I realized that, you know what, there's never going to be a perfect time. And I was very emotional at first about it, and then I brought myself back and I thought very logically, how can I redistribute this again? When should I redistribute this again? And I came to my senses, you know, there's never going to be a perfect time. I have a couple of people who are already hitting me up, so I'm going to reach out to them and I'm going to see where this goes. And I'm taking it in a completely different direction. And because that I did take the time to break down the benefits and the costs, like you mentioned, I'm now like in a really good space with my podcast. I feel very confident posting it and sharing it. And I was very timid about it before, but now I feel very confident in the conversations I have with people, like right now. Before, it was just entirely scripted. Now I have like some notes on my phone with just like a couple bullet points. Before, it was a long list of things to do. And it was like basically like an entire like grocery list. And I would be shaking the entire time. So now it's purely organic conversations coming from the tip of my tongue. And it feels right. It feels right. And I'm glad I got over those fears that were boggled in my head that really weren't there.
Yeah, that's and I'm just proud of your growth as a person. So fun fact, I like to share pictures of Andrew when I knew him as a young pup every now and again to remind himself not to get in over his head and remember and humble himself to some extent. But it's all good fun. We're able to kind of reflect on the good times that we had back then, and then also look at the growth that we've had as human beings. Even for me back then, to the person that I am currently, it's just incredible because we move with that intentionality, if that's a word. I'm pretty sure it is. Just being intentional about our growth over time. It just didn't happen overnight, did it, Andrew?
No, not at all, Ulrich. It did not happen overnight. And I don't wanna, you know, bullshit anyone here, because it didn't happen overnight. I had to go through, and I don't want to get into like super crazy detail because I feel like right now it's going back to like a therapeutic type of podcast, but there were a bunch of nights when, you know, it was a struggle. And I had to pick myself up and take myself through the storm and realize that it's not being destructive. It's just helping clear a path. And I'm going to get over this. There will always be a way out of whatever problems you're facing in life. And it's going to lead to like the most craziest growth and change that you'll ever expect. You just kind of have to go with the flow and go head forward. And make sure you're like looking, because you don't want to just go fully blind. But yeah, I appreciate it. You know, and of course, you, I have some embarrassing pictures of you too, by the way. It's not just me. I got some stored on my phone that I got to send you too. But I've also seen your growth over the years as well. It's crazy how, you know, how we first met. and to see like where we are today and the fact that we could still talk years later. It's crazy. Yeah.
It is. It is. And the topics change as well. And some of it stays warm, sort of the same. And that's just incredible. One of the things that in my work, so I work primarily with adult men, is having a sense of community, people that you can relate with. And that kind of drops off for people after 25, more so for guys, because a lot of it, a lot of our friendships are based around a sense of a shared task or recreational activity. So when we first met, we were playing children's card games. now we're sort of meathead bros. We're businessmen, right? So we always have that common denominator to us. And as we change and grow, as guys, sometimes we just, you know, we just become that lone wolf, like Lucas was talking about, just trying to find our situation. I did my homework, Andrew.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. So it's tough not having that. And I was like, oh, you know, do you have any friends? And people sometimes look within themselves. And I'm like, I really think about it. No, there's some dudes that I might get a beer with, get plastered with, bang some chicks with, and then like. That's it. Like I can't call them, you know, with great news that I got a promotion or I'm starting my own business or my Aunt Pearl's in the hospital. RIP Aunt Pearl. That's not a real aunt.
I'm sorry.
Fictional Aunt Pearl. Fictional Aunt Pearl is okay. Yeah, so we don't have some of those in it, and it leads to like a sense of loneliness. And I heard you talking about that loneliness versus solitude over there, Mr. Winters. You're crushing it, and letting the people know the difference between the two. But a lot of people come to a place of just crushing loneliness. Sad.
Yeah, the thing is, like, if you break it down to like the most like. I'm trying to figure out how to say this. At the end of the day, and this is going to sound really morbid and without having to sound too dark, you're going to die alone. Like that is a fact. And but how do you want to live your life up to that point? Like you will inevitably be alone in most cases if you really think about it. But like that doesn't mean you can't surround yourself with a like positive collective group of people. But it's really important, and I mentioned this before, that you learn to live in your own solitude, live in your own world, in your own universe, so you can bring people into it. I think it's very important because in order to get over, you know, certain fears in your life, whether that's, you know, failures, rejections, or that deep like seed of like loneliness. It's learning to be alone in times of, you know, in times of trouble. Oh, I don't know how the song goes. Yeah, I think it's just very beneficial that people and like, you know, young men learn how to be alone, learn how to pick themselves back up, learn to accept whatever's going on in their life, learn to take responsibility for their own actions. It's just that sense of being alone in solitude, like no one is judging you besides yourself. So then you can really sit down with yourself and be like, you know what? It's yeah, things might not be so great or things might be awesome, but at the end of the day, it's just you, yourself, and me, or I guess the royal I. And yeah, I digress. I think it's very important being alone.
I rest my case.
I rest my case. Case closed.
I'm having a great time talking to you, seriously. And what I've liked about our relationship as it's grown is the fact that we're learning more from each other. It's that adage of iron sharpens iron. kind of mentality, and I just wanted to kind of share that with you. Again, I'm just I another thing I'm being intentional about is allowing people to know how I feel about them, because you never know how things work out. It may be the very last conversation that you have with a person. Again, we're being morbid, for any, you know, any particular reason they change their number or whatever, right? Let's make it a little bit lighter. Just be more intentional about, like, all right, this is how I see you. And especially if I feel a very positive way about a person, it's like, they know. I'm like, no, like, let me let them know, you know? So I tried this experiment because rejection is hard for me, as I think for a lot of people, but I have a little special thing with rejection. So I saw my stepdad maybe like 3 weeks ago. I try to see my parents as often as I can, but it was like about 3 weeks ago, whatever. And he had woken up for a nap, and I asked him for a hug, and he like paused. I was like, "What?" And he hugged me, and it was cool. And I was like, "All right, I'm out the door." And he's like, "Oh, okay." Like, he's probably like, "Did something happen?" I was like, "Nah, like, I really appreciate him, and I just wanted to be affectionate in that way and try that with him." I haven't talked about it since, and will I try it again? Probably. Like, it's not the lake, so.
Did I get another hug? No. I tried.
Why are you doing this? Your mom put you up to this? Yeah, but it was cool. So are you what kind of territory are you in right now? Like, what are what's the murky Florida water for you nowadays?
The murky water for me? Oh, you're trying to let my demons out so everyone can know these days.
No, like, what are you jumping into that, like, on at a level where, hey, I can do this, jump into this. This is kind of scary, but I won't know until I'm in that water.
Okay. So yeah, one of them is definitely, well, I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm doing that are foreign to me, but I like it. It's something new. I get to experience something completely new. But I guess one of the things that's murky water currently is, like, I guess building new connections. You know, I moved away for a good portion of my life from this area. Wow. 7-8 years I lived after, for college, after college, during college, all that in Fort Myers, Florida. And I would only come here to visit. But now that I'm back in this specific area, I feel like I haven't been able to branch myself out and build a new social circle. In some ways I have with certain individuals, but, you know, for the most part, I'm working a lot. Like, I'm grinding every day. Like, you know, I'm up by like 6:30, 6 every morning, and then going to bed like 2, sometimes 3 in the morning. And, you know, there'll be times during the day when I slack off a little bit, but, like, it's not like completely slacking off. It's not like I'm watching Netflix or anything. But, like, one of the things that I have noticed was, like, you know, there in times of, like, it's like a double-bladed sword. When you work a lot, you tend to isolate yourself from individuals. And for me, who is – I would say I'm an extrovert these days. Like, I love talking with people. I love hearing people and listening to people and sharing with people. And when I take myself away from that, I feel like I'm out of my element. So I guess I'm in murky waters because I'm not putting myself in my best element. But the podcast has definitely, like, helped me in that respect, because I'm getting to talk to people. I'm getting really personal on this podcast with the listeners right now.
who's the host now?
Oh man, no, this is, yeah, I don't, you know, I don't want to pretend to be something I'm not on here. To be honest, I want this podcast to be fully transparent and organic. You know, I'm not a perfect individual. There are times where I need to balance social life with my work life, because I might work like 24/8, and I might forget, like, you know, I have some people who would want to see me and hang out with me. And it you know, it's all about finding that proper balance for you. Nothing's ever going to be you know, fully balanced to the point of like, all right, everything's perfect. But there are times you can include other aspects in your life. And one of them being for me is maybe a little bit more socializing.
Okay. All right. I like that answer. That was great. And that took a lot of introspection, putting you on the spot right there and being able to talk about all of that. Like, you probably didn't see any of that stuff coming, huh?
No, not at all. I didn't even think I would ever talk about something like this on my podcast. You know, to be honest, you know, Rick, back on my old podcast last year, I would try to pretend to be someone I wasn't in a lot of senses. Like, I would try to make my life seem like it's perfect all year round, every day, every hour. And if you heard my podcast, like, I'm not saying everything I told you guys BS, but like I made it seem like a fairy tale sometimes where my life is going perfect all the time, and no one's life is ever going perfect. And that's why, like, I'm glad you asked that question, because for once in my podcast, well, not for once, I could be real with you guys on a different level.
Yeah, I love it. I like the real Andrew. I don't want anything, no artificial, no sweeteners, no fillers.
No artificial sweeteners. No sweet and low, guys. We only have monk fruit here.
Monk fruit? What is that?
That's it's a sugar derived from a monk fruit. I don't know exactly what a monk fruit looks like, but it's a sugar derived from it, and it's slightly processed. But of course, like, you have to process some things in order to get it into the powdery sugar form. So, long story short, it's a natural sweetener.
Look at that! I'm out here learning stuff. Love it.
Hey, I have a background in biology and chemistry. I have to use it for some things, right?
Like, BS has to be for something, right?
Exactly. It's not just a BS. It's a bachelor's in science.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So one of the things I noticed about you in the last 2 years that we've been back connected, because you were away at college doing that whole college life situation, was this, your sense of accountability has increased so much. And I just wanted to know what, like, your journey to the accountability was like. How'd you get to this place?
Well, this podcast is about me now. This is a very interesting turn of events. The accountability.
Hey, you can give it to me too, man. I just had to throw that out there. Just like, my admiration, your accountability has just been amazing. I didn't want to leave here without talking about that.
Yeah, and it's actually funny, because going back to like the title of the podcast, Overcoming Fear of Failure, knowing that there is a possibility of failure makes me think that, okay, you know what? I have to think about, take a step back and think about logically, what is the worst thing that could happen, and how am I going to move forward from there? And then what's going to be my decision, and how am I going to react? So I would tell myself, all right, that's the worst thing that could happen. I have to take responsibility no matter what, and I have to act accordingly. And the over the 2 years that, I guess you said, my accountability has gone better, it was due to the fact of many different, you know, failures and life lessons that I went through over time that eventually got me to the point of, you know, being able to break down those failures in a very, very logical and analytical sense, so I can make sure I don't repeat them, and I can make sure I become better for it. So, you know, for example, there was a little problem that I had with a friend not too long ago that I was working with on something. You know, I'll keep it on the down low for now, and I will eventually talk about it later when the time comes. But something went wrong on my part, and I could have easily blamed everything else and pointed a finger at him or anything else that was around me at the time. But I took responsibility. I took accountability. You know, I said, I messed up. I did this wrong. I'm going to take responsibility for this, and I'm going to make sure I'm accountable to correcting my mistakes that I made. And that's how I went about it. And from back then, Andrew Winters, even a year ago, wouldn't have done the same thing today. Just because, you know, last year I would have pointed the finger, or I would have been very defensive, or I would have just avoided the situation and pretended like it wasn't there. But Andrew today realizes that, you know, there are problems, and problems are going to occur, and I have to take responsibility no matter what the circumstances are. And I'm going to make sure I'm accountable for them, and I'm going to do the work better than I did before. So, yes, to answer your question, I know that was a lot that I threw out there, and I'm hoping the listeners once again can go back and take some notes, because apparently that's what I say all the time, and really, really hear what I had to say, because accountability doesn't happen overnight, it doesn't happen by saying you're going to do it. You know, actions speak louder than words. That's why it's quiet. You have to do it, like Nike or Shia LaBeouf. Just do it. Like, literally, just do it. Don't talk about it. If you say you're going to do it, then do it. Take accountability for your actions. Take responsibility for your actions. Do what you got to do. That's it. And it's just repetition, repetition, repetition until you get it to the point where it's solid. It's like iron, and you can't break it that easily with a fork or just by throwing it. And it's ingrained into me. I stay accountable for everything that I do. And it's part of my characteristics now. And I'm hoping that for anyone who's listening to this will realize that, you know, it's very important to be accountable. It's a great characteristic that you should live by. One of many.
Absolutely. I love that. That was an awesome answer. Thank you for bringing me a little bit closer to you.
No problem. Now you can see my
revolution.
My evolution from a Charizard to Mega Charizard.
Oh my God. Yo, you're killing it, man.
But going back a little bit, appreciate that, by the way. You talked about rejection. And that I do believe, like, rejection is a form of failure in a sense.
Okay.
And where I'm going with this is that, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you were scared of rejection. How, what got you over that hump after the rejection part? Actually, you know, let me reword that question. There, we always have like this anxiety of doing something, like the approach anxiety, and then that after portion of when you do it. Like, how, what led you to be able to get over that approach, that rejection, then that post rejection like phase, if that made sense?
Yeah. So as human beings, I believe we're storytellers. You look at it across cultures, one of the things that we're going to have in common is we're going to have stories. So there's a beginning, middle, end. There's typically a hero. There's typically a challenge to overcome. And there's typically a solution. And that's it. So I look at my life as a story. I'm a big fan of comic books. I'm a big fan of superhero movies. And you see the evolution and growth in those individuals, in those comic books, if it's good writing, you'll see that. So back with the reflection is just, okay, I completed this challenge. How do I now utilize the skills that I learned from that particular challenge to this new set of challenges? How much is the fear preventing me from encountering this challenge? That becomes important to me. It's just looking at these things as a reminder. And again, as a comic book reader, sometimes I'm just like, when did this happen? You go ahead and read, and it's like, oh yeah. And then you kind of resume to the regular schedule program that you have. And I do that all of the time. Being around people who are growing as well. So I surround myself with people that I look at as mentors, and then I also am looking at myself as a leader and people who are learning from me and their experiences, and it reminds me of where I was, and therefore it with the people that I'm mentoring, it reminds me of where I was or where I could have been, And then for the people who lead me and I look at as mentors, it teaches me where I could potentially go. So it works on my fear on that spectrum. So I can look at things that I was afraid of back then to like, okay, well, it's nothing as bad as I thought it was. It's regular everyday to me now to, oh, wow, these people in the future here as leaders are crushing it and doing well. So that could potentially be something that I can look forward to as well in that aspect. So yeah, that's how I've been doing better with the fear of rejection. I still have a lot to learn about certain things and different hurts and how I react very differently to some of them. So sometimes I can be very assertive about it, sometimes I can be aggressive about it, sometimes I can be passive. And it's just learning what's useful when I find myself in those hurtful situations and how to best overcome them to some extent. Great question.
Oh, I appreciate that. Great answer. Overcome it, and I appreciate that you mentioned the whole comic book thing. And I'm a very big nerd myself. A lot of people don't know that, but if you get to know me on a deep level, I'm also a nerd. But there's a lot to learn from comic books. They derive them from real stories and kind of shape them, and make them their own. But the fact that you're able to look at it from an objective standpoint and be like, what can I learn from this? And then do it and then realize, okay, I had these certain emotions, but next time I'll be able to act more accordingly. That's, dude, you answered that perfectly, and I appreciate that very much so.
Absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, this was an awesome podcast. Like, I think there was a lot that was shared here, knowledge based, lifestyle based, and story based. Like, we've literally brought everything together, and I'm super excited to share this podcast.
I'm super excited to be a part of this podcast. And again, I'm never going to stop telling you how proud I am of you. Just continue to be the person that you're growing to be. Just keep at it. Don't give up.
That's one of my other many mantras is never giving up. I even at a young age, I knew not to give up, and in a way that could be bad because you might try to pursue something too much, and you're like, you know what? Maybe I gotta let go. And that's my cornerstone to everything. It's like, all right, never give up, but it does get to a certain extent where sometimes you do need to let go, and that's okay. But I appreciate that, and I'm not gonna stop growing. It's who I am, even if diamonds are formed under pressure, wine is formed when grapes are pressed and squeezed. So that's how I take life. There are gonna be like tough times, and I'm gonna experience failure, but I will overcome it because it's just a state of being. It's not always going on at the whole time. So I appreciate that, and I want you to continue growing as well as and your the Kai Wellness Center. You're doing great things, and you're helping so many people out. And I just want to take a moment to say, our mental health is a serious thing, and don't just bat it off and pretend like it doesn't exist. If you need to speak to someone or get some professional help, go out there, reach out to someone. My good friend, longtime friend, a mentor, brother to me, Ark, has his own, mental therapy group that he works with. And of course, I'll leave the links down below where you can reach out to him. But I do think genuinely if you are going through tough times, it's very hard navigating because you might think you might have a big ego and think you can do everything on your own, or two, you might be completely lost, on the opposite side of the spectrum, I have no clue. It's very important that you reach out to someone, especially a professional who can help you. They're not there to criticize you, they're not there to bring you down, they're not there to tell you what to do. They're there to help you, to help navigate you, to help you build a better boat.
And there's a lot of dope therapists out there. So it's, that whole idea of sitting on a couch looking up at the ceiling and some guy with some ink blots. Like, no, that's not happening as much anymore. It's just finding your fit and what you need. You might have to kiss a couple frogs, but that's part of the process if it's important to you. So it goes back to that fear and rejection. For some people, like their first introduction to therapy was something that's forced upon them to, all right, now I can make a choice and wow, this is actually amazing. And I'm in a better place as a result of this, being able to talk about things in a maybe objective way and do a lot of introspection, looking within myself and not just surviving in this existence that we have as humans. So it's an incredible thing. So if you guys any resources, please reach out. I have no problem. I'll share all that I can. I'm all about wellness and the betterment of human beings.
All right, and that is a great place to leave the podcast. So, let's shout. Yeah, you guys couldn't see, but didn't call me now. Like, so, let shout out some of your social media handles. Where can they follow you or connect with you?
Oh man, this is gonna be real easy. So IG, it's the Instagram for you older folk, is Kai Wellness Center. Facebook, Kai Wellness Center. Get ready for this. Website, www.kaiwellnesscenter.com.
Wow, I would have never guessed.
Brand.
Grand red.
So yeah, just reach out in any way that you feel that you can.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, and I appreciate you being on the Real Hero and being real with the folks, and that's what it is, being real and being a hero in your own life story, as I've said
Hey,
before.
Andrew, I learned something about you today.
What is that?
That you're bilingual. You spoke, you speak.
Bilingual.
Yeah, you speak English and facts.
Oh, this guy said it. We only speak facts here, guys. 100% facts. No cap. Let's go. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll throw out the link about here.
Right, we out of here, man. I'll talk to
We
you.
out of here. All right. Well, once again, I appreciate you being here on the podcast and just being your real self and asking me these deep-rooted therapeutic questions to get me to open up and realize the things that are going on in my life so I can become a better person for it.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, I'll talk to you about my good friend.
Sounds good, my good friend.
Right, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Real Hero Podcast. Be sure to check out The Real Hero on iTunes or Spotify to listen to new weekly episodes.